You're listening to CKUT, broadcast on 90.3 FM in Montreal and online worldwide at ckut.ca. I'm Jules Bugel. Maybe you've heard about it. Maybe you haven't stopped hearing about it. It's a bill that's faced opposition since it was tabled in March. I'm talking about the proposed Bill 15, Health Minister Christian Dubé's sweeping restructuring of Quebec's healthcare system. The CAQ says the changes will streamline the network and improve quality of care.
Once upon a time, there was a culture of the patients. There was a feeling of being part of a team in one hospital. This has been lost. It's not normal that we have 800,000 people waiting for an appointment. That doesn't make sense.
Opponents say it's more about consolidating power. It's a bill that will centralize authority under a new government agency, Santé Québec. It'll drastically decrease the number of healthcare units in the province, going from over 100 to just 4. And it'll add a new layer of hierarchy to healthcare centers, who will each get a manager answering only to Santé Québec. On October 22nd, Quebecers came out in cities across the province to protest the bill, and specifically the changes it'll make to the way midwives practice. To understand those changes, I spoke to Josiane Giroux, midwife and president of the Regroupement Les Sages-Femmes du Québec, the Quebec Midwives Association. Here's our conversation.
Oh, hi, I'm Josiane Giroux, midwife. I'm the president of the Association of Midwives in Quebec, Le Regroupement Les Sages-Femmes du Québec. I practice in Quebec City. I'm a mother of two kids, and I'm glad to be here today.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. I'd like to start off just by talking about the protests that happened this weekend, where people across the province, including here in Montreal, gathered on Sunday to speak out against the impact of Bill 15 on midwives in the province. Can you just tell me about how that bill is going to change potentially the profession and yeah, how you do your work?
Yeah, well, The Bill 15 really going to change the profession a lot in the structure of the profession and the governance of how of the services we offer. So I try to summarize the changes, you know, because there's a 1,500 articles in the bill, and there's about 100 that are touching us, the midwives. But there's two main changes that that Christian Dubé is trying to bring. So first of all, we actually have midwife coordinator in every midwifery services around the province, which is a way of which is a governance that is not a hierarchical. I'll do speak it in French. And he's trying to change completely this governance and bringing us under the medical director. And also there will be a clinical department. There will be a chief now, a midwifery chief, which is completely different than what we have right now. This is the first change. So a medical director, a chief midwifery under this medical director. Second change is that is the abolition of the midwifery council. So the council is a structure that has different responsibilities in the law, which one that is the ability to be sure that the quality of the act of midwives. So the surveillance of our practice. Right now, since the legalization of the profession in 1999, we've been doing this with midwives, for midwives. Now we will be in a new council, which exists already. It's the Council of Doctors, Pharmacists, and Dentists. And in on this council, we will be in minority, a majority of doctors. So the interpretation for us is clear, is that doctors will have the last words on the decisions made about if a midwife did act correctly in different situations, and this can bring a lot of changes in the way we practice. And that's what the population right now is really preoccupied. They see that with the abolition of the midwifery council and the medical director, it really can change how we are able to offer choices for women for their pregnancy, for their birth, for their postnatal care.
What I'm hearing from you is then that in the daily operations of things at medical centers in the province, there's a change where someone is going to be above midwives, restricting their guidance, their professional authority. And then that change is sort of going to be put in at a larger scale with this council change. I'm wondering, the outnumbering of midwives on this council, is that a feared, not just because of the numbers, but there might be some stigma among doctors that will make it difficult when these councils have to, as you said, adjudicate on whether a midwife performed their duties correctly?
Yes, that's exactly one of our main concerns. And, you know, OBGYN, YN, and family doctors and midwives, like, we are at birth, and we have different way to practice, the three of us. But for midwives, the way we see the birth, one main thing that is like the thing that is the most important for us is really to encourage women to make decisions. So in some cases, like, the decision that will be made by a woman may be different than what the literature suggests, or, you know, what we're supposed as, like, the science suggests. But we are working with the person in front of us, and we are explaining the potential impact. And sometimes, like, people are making their decisions and also are aware of the consequences. And it's not big consequences, but sometimes, like, when we arrive in front of a file and we are doing our clinical review and we are discussing with midwives, like, we have this vision of the person is making her decision, but what is really important to tell to the person, and are we sure that the person has all the information? If we bring doctors at the table, not having this way of working, which is really important for us, it may look like we're not doing our work the right way, and we will have a lot of discussion, and we already have them. You know, we're collaborating with doctors on a day-to-day basis. We have to transfer care, and it's okay for us. But if they have to make some decisions about, did we act well, and will there be some disciplinary consequences, it's really important that those decisions are made by a majority of midwives. Also, we're practicing out of hospital, so we have a way of working that is quite different. So, yes, we think that the person that will be the most affected are women, because if at the end, every time we are reviewing some situations, and midwives are always, you know, put in face of, like, if they didn't act well, well, they may change the way they act, and fear may come in. And the manifestation this weekend, women are aware that we're supporting them right now, and we are working with them. And if we lose this possibility in the structure, in the law, well, then the impact will be on them. And that's why people are, you know, we have more than 12,000 signatures on our, we have a letter that is, that we publish in different in the different newspapers, and people understand that it's very important that in this new bill, this bill that will restructure of our health system, we need some guarantee that midwives will have structure to protect their professional autonomy.
I hear what you're saying about women, people who are wanting to give birth. These people will be the most affected, right, by the legislation. So let's say I am giving birth and choose to see a midwife instead. How would these changes affect me? You've already talked about some of the changes that would affect people in the profession, but how are people who are giving birth going to see these changes downstream?
So for people who will have to make some decisions about their health that may be on some limit, like, for example, if a person has had a C-section before, we are following women for VBAC right now, and this subject is really a subject of discussion with doctors. And in some places, it's already very difficult for midwives to follow people who had a C-section before. So maybe this person, we won't be able to follow her in the future. Or for another good example is the distance for a home birth. So for example, if you want a home birth and you live at, I don't know, 30 minutes or 35 minutes from a hospital, will it still be possible? Because how we work right now, and it's all around the country, the way we work as midwives, is that we explain the risk. We explain everything. We explain the difference with a home birth, with a hospital birth, with a birth center birth. And people are making their decision. But if there's a medical director that has a look on our règle de soin, which is something that is difficult for me to translate, and decides that, well, the maximum of distance is this distance for home birth, for example, and that's it. Midwives, you cannot go more than, I don't know, 30 kilometers from a hospital. There are limitations to our capability to respond to the needs of our clients. And it will be, you know, not very subtle. Like, it's not always clear, but in some situation, it may be very clear that it comes from this medical director or from some decisions that were made at the council by doctors that did affect the midwife in her capability to respond to the needs of the moment. She may just decide not like to say no to the person in front of her because she's afraid of the consequences or what will happen then after for her. So I hope those are examples that like really can make it clear that the impacts will be on our capability as midwives to respond to the needs of women in front of us.
Yeah, no, I think that is absolutely clear. And, you know, you talked about not just in Quebec, but the way that things are practiced around the country. I'm wondering if you can speak to how what we're seeing in Quebec is connected to other developments in Canada. You know, in Ontario, Premier Doug Ford has made some moves that have been hostile to the midwifery profession, including revoking funding for the College of Midwives there. What is the link between, yeah, what's going on right now in Quebec with this restructuring and other kinds of government restructurings elsewhere that have hurt the midwifery profession?
I see the situation of midwives around the globe, in fact, because we're a profession that were mainly women offering services to mainly women and people that can get pregnant, you know. And there's something that is clearer for me as I evolve as the president of my association since 3 years. And the way we practice, we're giving power to the person in front of us. We're giving the possibility to women to decide for their babies. This is something that is not very encouraged in our health system. And to be able to do that, we are working differently. We're taking time with people. We're offering them the possibility to call us 24 hours a day. We're also following the family, the community. It's larger than the person in front of us. And, you know, I'm kind of feeling right now in this situation we're having with the government that I cannot speak out the word patriarcha. Like, the person making the decisions right now are all men, and they're not seeing the impact, or if they see it, because I guess they're really intelligent, so they don't mind. And that really is something that really preoccupies me. Like, we're trying hard. People have to go out in the streets to say and to tell the government, be aware of the impact on us. We want midwives to be able to be autonomous. So in Ontario, in BC, in all the provinces, I met with the other presidents in the other provinces. We're facing those oppressions. It's a system of oppressions we're facing, midwives, since so many years, and it's just coming back. We move forward, then we go back. We move forward, then we go back. every time there's been a bill, there's been a reform in the health system, we lost something, midwives. And now we're losing a lot. Like, we're losing our the foundation of how we were legalized, how we arrived in a health system. We know that the government is not very comfortable with our professional autonomy. They want to see more how we do, and they want to control a bit more. And that, for me, is like, in the history, we've always wanted to control women's body. So maybe that's the reason I'm the president of the Association of Midwives. And I haven't even met with the minister. Like, he's not answering my call. He wasn't answering my call. And how many times he did meet with doctors, you know? And it's the system, it's the oppression, and and I can only go back to the fact that we're working for women.
That was Josiane Giroux, president of the Regroupement Les Sages-Femmes du Québec, the Quebec Midwives Association. If you'd like to learn more about the larger campaign around birth autonomy, you can head to enfantement.org. There you'll find links to the community on Facebook and ways to get involved. That's enfantement.org. I'm Jules Bijal. Thanks for listening.